Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We got a mighty combination, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too? You love this podcast.
All right, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Connection show here. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. Same on Twitter, MWC Connection, Facebook. You all know the good stuff here. Jeremy here. I am with Chris tonight, but a different Chris this evening. Chris Turner, how you doing?
Is the Chris that you weren't expecting. I'm doing good, Jeremy. Thank you for having me tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was going to say not with Chris, but I'm like, wait, is this Chris here?
It's still with Chris, so you're still getting a string of Chris's.
Getting Chris. Like I said, don't ask him about Missouri football, so we will stay away from that topic tonight, maybe.
I wouldn't want to talk about it anyway after last weekend.
Yeah, but he discusses Hawaii with us. We'll chat about the Rainbows. They're off this week, but there's some news, so we'll just jump into it because we don't want this to be 90 minutes because... Me and Chris, we go off topic, and we're going to try to stay the path this week. So let's just go with Hawaii news. Hawaii scheduled a home-and-home with soon-to-be-independent UMass. And I didn't think this was the farthest game, but this is the farthest they've ever traveled for a game.
5,000 miles, which I thought, if you look at last year, they went out to Navy. They went out to Annapolis. That was about 4,000, but apparently a couple years ago when I looked into it, it went out to West Point, New York, 4,955 miles. That's, I mean, ridiculous. No wonder they're concerned about the program because of all these travel expenses.
Is that? And they went to Gainesville, I think, in 2008 after the Sugar Bowl year. But, geez, that's – I guess you said, this is the 10th time they've gone to the East Coast?
Ninth.
Ninth time, so.
Yeah.
And let's just hope for them it's not a noon Eastern kickoff because that would be 6 a.m. Hawaii time.
Yeah, I think they'll get that is if it's a 12 Eastern. I think yeah, that'll be 5 o'clock.
5 a.m. Yeah, because the game this past week, I was actually listening to the game. I was mowing the lawn on all the Pac-12 network, and they mentioned pregame 6 a.m. in Hawaii time. It was a noon Mountain kickoff. So
yeah,
and odds are it could be because UMass is not very good. It could be on like a streaming service or ESPN3 or something, and oh.
I mean, it's a step down compared to what they have been scheduling, because if you look at some of their future schedules, if I remember correctly, they're going to Wisconsin next year, and then that year they're playing UMass. Both years they're playing UMass. They have Michigan, Kansas, and UCLA, and BYU.
Kansas, they can take care of that.
Maybe they'll hire someone. I don't know. Maybe Charlie Weiss is still there, and he pulls a couple wins.
Maybe. Yeah, we got to get the money games in there. That's the thing. You got to pull in the cash.
A handful of those are Power 5 conference games. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe it'll lead to a bowl. I mean, a better bowl bid. Who knows?
Maybe. All right, so, and then let's do one more quick thing in Hawaii. The quarterback.
The fun stuff.
The quadrant is back. It's me and Chris made fun of last year. We got Jeremy Higgins out there. Not that he was going to play much. I guess this maybe helps him. Fractured left hand. He's out. His career is over. He's going to be coaching down the road. But what are they going to do with Taylor Graham or Akeke Wuzle?
Well, I joked about this, that after the game, after Ikeka got pulled in the Northern Iowa game, that the quarterback situation was now a burning dumpster fire.
Yeah.
But after we saw Taylor Graham for the first time this season against Colorado, it's now a dumpster fire that's slowly rolling toward a cliff. Because I don't know. I don't think that Hawaii or Norm Chow wants to go through the Taylor Graham experiment again. Because after what he gave you the first three games of last year, how confident are you going to be in him as your starter? I mean, obviously the offense has not been efficient at all with Woolsey, but I don't know if you're going to get any better or worse with Graham.
It's Graham's injury. He had the shoulder thing last year, so there could be a little bit to that. But I don't. Woolsey just seems to fire the ball. He throws it too hard, not accurate enough. He can move it occasionally, but I don't know. They're like every other team. Look at this when we get to our game. New Mexico could see multiple quarterbacks. We saw Fresno State. They're not going to name their starter until basically they walk on the field Friday night. Who else we got playing? Anybody else playing multiple quarterbacks?
Is Air Force still going with multiple quarterbacks?
No, they got Kel Pearson, Utah State for injury. But last week there was multiple. Yeah, CSU's good. I think it's just a couple teams, like three teams. San Diego State's fine. Well, you got San Jose State switching quarterbacks around. And the coach, we'll get to that, Rod Carriger poorly attempted to backtrack. It's like, coach, come on. You got to just answer no. Just say it's a work in progress. But
They're gonna start running the wild Spartan. Might as well.
Sure. Is that what they call it?
Maybe they do.
Who knows? Because here at University of Utah, they probably should not. They never did, but they didn't call it the wild U because that's not the best thing to say.
I mean, I grew up in Arkansas, so I got to
Darren McFadden, the original.
Yep, I grew up in the original Wild Hog. That was fun. I mean, Houston Nutt, obviously not an offensive genius, but watching Darren McFadden run the Wild Hog and actually run it successfully was just incredibly fun to watch as like a 10-year-old kid.
Yeah, I remember watching this. Pretty, and he actually threw reasonably well. He had like
he had a decent arm. Like if you remember, like the three running backs they had Darren McFadden, Peyton Hillis, and Felix Jones.
Felix Jones, yeah.
And it would be fun because I remember the most fun I've had watching a game. It was the triple overtime game 2007 when they knocked off LSU when they were number one. And I remember Darren McFadden had two touchdown passes that game.
Two.
And like I think I want to say like almost 250 all-purpose yards.
Could be. I remember those. Yeah, that's when Arkansas was actually good. Pretty good. So
they actually went 5-7 that year. But
I thought they had one year with McFadden.
But the year before, they did make the SEC title game, but they ran into Tebow in Florida.
Oh, maybe that's what I was thinking of. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's fast forward 10 years to get to current stuff, I guess. what we normally do, as you know before, we just go chronological order. And for those who, we got a few complaints, like, hey, can you timestamp when this comes on, this team? I don't care about the Team X, Team A. Can you put a little, like, I guess you can put a little marker to fast, like, the click to fast forward? Sorry, folks. We're not going that route.
We're not making chapters.
Yeah, that's exactly what's called chapters. No, but so if you know the timeline, good to go. So, but first off, we got back to Friday night games. How is this game on ESPN? Fresno State at New Mexico, ESPN2.
Well, I mean, it's really on ESPN2.
ESPN, yeah, it really is, and it's not the 10:30 Eastern kick. It's actually a 6 p.m. local, 8 p.m. Eastern there in Albuquerque.
Well, did they really want to pick up Middle Tennessee, Old Dominion?
Old Dominion's 2-1, aren't they? 3-1.
I do think they are, actually. Yes, they are 2-1 right now. I take that back. They're 3-1 coming off a big win over Rice.
Yes. There's not many games. There is the late game I'd recommend watching after that. You got UCLA, Arizona State. However, a pair of backup QBs in that game, so that could be disastrous.
I actually do. Isn't Hundley going?
There's a possibility. There's talk that he wants to play and might play. If he plays, he won't be effective, I don't think, as much as he could be.
I mean, it could be. I mean, from what I saw against Texas, I mean, the offense was it was basically water.
Like Gary Neuheisel back there, or Jerry Neuheisel, whatever.
It was Jerry. All they did, Noah Mazzone, he would either call a screen or a swing pass, or he would just let Paul Perkins run it. So Texas started to pick that up after a while.
We'll see. Yeah, watch that game after this game, but okay, Fresno at New Mexico. We already have our Fresno-New Mexico preview in the books ready for the morning, so I won't give away what our New Mexico guy predicts in the game, but the big story in this game is the quarterback. Fresno State's probably, no, it is the worst, even more than New Mexico, it's the worst quarterback situation. You have Brian Burrell, who probably should be starting and playing. They bring in Brandon, everybody knows Brandon Connett from Duke, led him to the, well, half the quarterback situation there. Kind of runs a little bit with the ACC title game last season versus Florida State, but didn't stand a dang chance against them. He's not doing anything. My thought, like, you may have listened to, maybe not from the last show, but I told Chris, is like, they need to decide to play first half Connett, second half, or whatever. Pick a quarter, two quarters for each quarterback, Connett and Burrell. Well, of course, Tim Drueter did not do that, because that would have been a good chance to see what you have, or at least one last chance. Dude, this is the fifth week. They don't know who they're starting. And then Zach Greenlee looked good throwing the ball against Southern Utah. It's like, geez.
I mean, could we have a quadrant at Fresno State?
I don't know. They have a freshman they don't want to burn the red shirt on, so I doubt he's dumb enough to do that, or with Dave Schramm there, but I don't know. At this point, if it's not Connett, you don't need to play him. Maybe bring him in every now and then just for the heck of it, because he's a mobile guy, but he's not there next year. You do have Burrell, and he may not even start next year, but at least he's a guy who's going to be in the program for another year.
And if you don't start, if you do start Burrell and he's not successful, give him a chance to grow.
Yeah.
Like, he'll be coming into next year with all this experience and be better off for it. Rather, if you're going to go with Cornette, I mean, how is that going to look out for the next year? You're just going to have Burrell, who rode the bench for the majority of the year.
And then Greenlee's a redshirt sophomore, and he might be ready. But unless he does something terrible, like multiple pick sixes, something just extreme, keep him in the game, because they should beat New Mexico. But this is only – Fresno's only favored by 6 points.
And being at New Mexico, too, I feel like something screwy is going to go down.
It's possible. And they – but Albuquerque's an interesting place to play. It's just Albuquerque. It's a desert. It's nothing. And then the Lobos, they're the weirdest team. Cole Gauchy, the quarterback who has a hamstring issue, may or may not play. We've decided here it should be Lamar Jordan. And hopefully our decision means something to somebody. Because Gauchy, it's the weirdest thing. He runs that offense, literally run the offense very well. They give it to Caruso Gongbe. He'll run the read option to pistol. He'll get yards and can move the ball very well. But he can't pass for anything.
Well,
if he can pretend to pass, come on. That's what I mean. Learn how to pretend to pass. I don't know what to tell him. If he can do that, the offense probably – they could probably maybe be close to a bowl game if he could throw.
To start resorting to arm punts. I think in this case, if you're New Mexico – you got to go with whoever runs your offense the best. Even if it's not throwing it, you'll get there eventually.
But he's been the quarterback. This is his third year in the system, so we've been saying that for a while.
Right.
So there's – I get your point. But Lamar, we think from what we've seen from Lamar Jordan, he can actually do both. Not as good as running the ball, but very efficient. But he can actually throw.
So right. Especially when he came in during Arizona State, he was probably his most efficient, I would say. I mean, he was efficient completing the ball and running it. So if he gets the opportunity, I'd like to see what he can do.
He is the number two guy, and I believe of what they're saying, reading our preview, or just kind of editing the preview we had for tomorrow, it has a hamstring gouge. He's been banged up all year, and dude, Bob Davey, come on, do something. But basically, here's what Tim Drueter says he's about his QB situation, which I probably should have mentioned earlier. He just says, we'll figure it out, but we'll see you come Friday. And let's see, we've come to a conclusion on where we need to go in the future. So this, hopefully this, I'll repeat that, but hopefully this is what we've just said about Burrell. We've come to some conclusion on where we need to go in the future. We have a better feel for what all three guys, he is mentioning Zach Greenlee in the mix, can do. And we're going to focus it down to one quarterback and one backup and a third guy who will play as the reps play out. That's what he says. So
I want to hope that means that they're going to start leaning toward Burrell if they're really focused on the future.
Yeah, they should do Burrell number one. And they probably should have Greenlee number two as the backup quarterback, but keep Condon in there if they want just to – we know he's going to run, but he can also throw type of QB, that type of guy.
I think if you want a cleanup guy, I think maybe you kind of alternate between Condon and Greenlee at the two. I mean, you don't have a set two. I mean, you have Condon he's not a guarantee, but he's a guy with experience who can come in and clean up for you if need be. Then you have Greenlee who can come in and get the reps that he needs for the future.
Yeah, we'll see. he's got to stick with one guy at least. That's their main thing. And one thing about, we'll kind of jump around teams, but New Mexico, we've told this, like, Chris as well, like, they have one of the most dynamic players in the league, Carlos Wiggins, which very good preseason special teams player there. He'll kick return, punt return. They don't throw enough to give him the ball. And I think last week he had 3 touches. He had a catch for, I think, -3 yards or a run for -3 and 2 punts. It's like, I don't know if you probably don't know this, but there's this guy Chad Hall about back when, let's try, I think when I was at the University of Utah, like in 04 or 05 or something like that. He ended up being like an All-American. He got a shot at the Eagles NFL. I think he was even Offensive Player of the Year with Air Force. He's kind of what Carlos Wiggins should be and could be. Kick return, punt return, jet sweep. He would go in motion to be the third running back in the Air Force's run option attack. And he'd get handoffs. That's what they need to do with Wiggins. And he could be one of the better players in the league and put up a lot of numbers to help them win if they could find ways to give him the ball. Yeah. And you think with the offensive coordinator from Sam Houston State, who's one of the names I probably should know, but that guy, he was the head coach at Sam Houston State when going to the FCS playoffs title games. You would think the way he wants to run his offense, he would be creative to get him in the mix. And
especially considering he doesn't even have, from the receiving and rushing standpoint, he's well under 100 all-purpose yards. Yeah. And obviously the offense hasn't looked anything special. I mean, they've dominated the ground. They're like top 10 in the country in rushing yards right now. But, I mean, you got to include Wiggins. When you have a guy who's that explosive and a guy who led your team in terms of like production, or not production, but in terms of explosiveness, you got to just work him in there somehow.
Yeah, you got to do something. So, what's your prediction on this game? We usually go through the line, like, it's a -6 for Fresno, or, yeah, well, I guess it's technically, is it +6 if you're a road favorite, I believe? Is that how it goes?
I think it is +6.
Thanks, ESPN, for saying -6, but that's what's making sure. So, what do you think? Is Fresno going to get a win? Are they going to cover? We'll note this here, but what do you think is going to be the results?
I do think Fresno will win, and I do think they'll probably cover. I think just whoever they go with, and it most likely will be Burrell, I feel like he'll kind of get into a groove, kind of easing into Mountain West play. And New Mexico's a good team, and especially
good. Sorry, it's funny to say New Mexico's a good team. You don't hear that too often.
In recent history, they have their own merits. They have decent players, but I feel like Fresno will be too much, and I'll say they'll cover. I'll say they'll win by 10.
I'm going the same route though. It'll be closer than people think. I just want to see Devontae Davis not go one catch for 0 yards again.
Yeah, that's probably what's been.
Not Devontae. That's the new NLV guy. Excuse me, Josh Harper. I mean, yeah. He pretty much had nothing last week. I'm terrible. See, we're not cutting this out. I'm looking forward to the schedule to the wrong team. Sorry, I'm like, hey, Devontae Davis is terrible. I was like, yeah, he did, but he doesn't play for you at for Fresno. He's on UNLV. I don't know why I had that lock thinking about it, but. Yeah, get Josh Harper the ball. That's what they need to do. So yeah. Let's move on. And as I continue to screw up, that's fine. We'll keep going here. Now we go to Saturday. Wyoming at Michigan State. Oh, jeez. 31-point favorite for Michigan State. Hey, it's less than Oregon Cups.
But it's another angry team in green, though.
It is. They scored, 71 versus Eastern Michigan last week?
Yeah. It was 73.
A lot of points.
Yeah,
a lot of points. 10 touchdowns and a field goal. Yeah, it's noon Eastern, so it's an early kick, ESPN2, all that good stuff. And Michigan State might actually be getting one of their offensive linemen back, starting right guard, who's apparently a behemoth at 325 pounds. And they're already good at running the ball. So that doesn't look good for the Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, we might see the same story we saw in the Wyoming game, the Oregon game. I mean, I think, like, for a quarter, they'll, like, keep it relatively close. And then Michigan State will kind of just slowly pull away.
I think that's because one thing – I pretty much agree with that assessment. Plus, this will be an interesting game a little bit because Michigan State can score points, but they're not going to do it Oregon. Because Oregon already played Michigan State. We saw how that turned out. Michigan State's more – what the Big Ten is. We're not slow and hand off every play, but they're going to – with Mike D'Antonio, traditional pro set, run the ball. Jeremy Langford says he's 100% running back for the Spartans. Jacksonville State? He hurt his ankle. He says he should be okay, but a little sore. So it's a little a little thing for him. And if he is a little sore, maybe that can help him out. But they want to be tough, and Wyoming is a tough team. Look what, like, they held Oregon on fourth down once or twice. They went 98 yards for that first touchdown. I don't think they need to get Sean Wake and DJ May running the ball very well, but Michigan State's a pretty good run team stopping the run. But here's the thing. They've played – it's hard to know what Michigan State is, really, because they have two extremes, Oregon, Jacksonville State, Eastern Michigan.
I mean, right now – I mean, compared to what Michigan State's played, I feel like Wyoming, out of the two out of the three, you have Oregon, obviously. Between Eastern Michigan and Jacksonville State, I do think Wyoming will probably be that toughest test.
Yes.
And especially what we saw, that, like you said, that 98-yard drive. They moved the ball so efficiently. And I think Wyoming can get a couple drives like that in there. I feel like they'll march down the field a few, like maybe once or twice, and kind of, you know, get the state fans a little worried. Like, uh-oh, we didn't see this coming. But how much can they do that? I mean, Michigan State's defense has played very well, subtracting the Oregon game.
Well, even the first half of the Oregon game, they were pretty good.
First half of the Oregon game, they looked great. They had Mariota rattled, and they were just playing. And what was it like? They were up by one going into the half?
Something like that. It's pretty close.
Yeah, so, I mean, Wyoming, if they can set the pace and set the tone of the game early, I feel like they can maybe get a jump and kind of get the game going in the right direction.
Thing with thing of Wyoming, they're like the worst team scoring points, 17 per game, which is 120th or 100, somewhere at the bottom five teams. They can't score points. That's a problem. Let's just kind of wrap up here. But so 31 points. What do you think? Any chance they can? Does Craig Bull have any magic to cover that?
I think 31 points sounds about right, considering it's in East Lansing. I wouldn't be surprised if Connor Cook plays roughly three quarters. I'd probably take, I'll say Michigan State by 31.
I'm going to go the other way. It's going to be about 28 points. It'll be just right below, but I think New Mexico?
New Mexico's taking over.
It's late, man. sorry, no, it's okay. I know it's later for you. I'm just staring off. I'm trying to type and talk, and sometimes that doesn't work out the best. Well, it'll be about 28-point win for Michigan State. It'll be almost a carbon copy of the Oregon game. They'll make a drive or two, maybe be close a little bit longer. The reason I think they'll cover, Michigan State's not going to run 95 plays. There won't be enough plays to win by over 30 points, I don't think.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with you at that. I mean, I'll still say Michigan State covers, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if it was maybe like a three score or 24-point win.
Yeah, something. I think it'd be close to 28, 24, 20 points, somewhere around there. All right, so let's move on to the next early game, an East Coast game, way East Coast. Colorado State going to Boston College, who is, hey, they could win the ACC. Maybe. Maybe not. They beat USC pretty bad. They just ran all over them. And I was doing some research because I don't watch Boston College football all the time. Apparently they're running the run first offense, essentially. We're not going to pass ever, and that's working pretty well.
fifth in the country in rushing yards right now, thanks to Tyler Murphy just running over everybody.
Yeah, he's wonder if Florida would like to have him back to actually have some offense.
Muschamp's probably just like wadding up paper and throwing it at the TV right about now.
Yeah, when he saw them beaten up by USC. The problem with Colorado State, they don't have a good run defense.
And that showed against Boise State. Jay Ajayi, he had a great day. And I think Tyler Murphy sees that, and he thinks he can take the same advantage.
Yeah, he could. And then Boston College goes multiple guys deep. They have like Miles Willis. Who's done pretty good for a couple of games. They want a freshman. They might see John Hillman. They want to get some reps in there. And even they said Sherm Alston, who's kind of a running back, receiver type of dude combo, to get that jet sweep going. They have plenty of guys who will run all over. Like, Colorado State has good linebackers. Like, Corey James is a good linebacker, but that's about all they have. They don't have enough to a defensive line to make that stop. They have the linebackers that are solid, but
it starts up front.
Yeah,
obviously. You gotta have a push. So if they can't get that push and BC gets the wins the battle in the trenches. It's all on that deep. It's that going to be that deep group of running backs all day.
I'm just wondering because they beat USC pretty bad. No, beat them up pretty bad, and they only lost that was it to Pitt, I believe, is surprising a lot of people as well. Because they're 3-1, they've played it pretty much every. This is their. They've only been on the road one time, so they're perfectly fine at home. They beat up on Maine last week. Yeah, they lost to Pitt, who's like I said, seems pretty good. I think if they're, it's going to come. It's going to be two very contrasting styles because Garrett Grayson probably will throw pretty well against this team, I believe. You give it to Hansley out there and just let him do what he wants to do outside, and I think that's what it'll be. A lot of passing versus a lot of running.
Yeah, it'll, like you said, it'll be a contrast of styles. We'll see one drive that takes 2 minutes and another one that takes, like, nine.
Yeah, the old 15-play, 85-yard, one-yard touchdown run.
And then you got over here, Colorado State gets the ball. Garrett Grayson, 51-yard touchdown pass on a two-minute drive.
Yeah. They're running. They need Grayson to throw well, and Higgins as well as another guy, Rashard Higgins, other receiver. They have a couple guys with Hansley, but they need the running game to do something because the Colorado game, we're like, oh, they're doing so great, and then D. Hart does nothing. Boise State, they do nothing. UC Davis, it's a win, but it's hard to really tell.
That's not a measuring stick.
Yeah, it's similar like with Michigan State a little bit. Okay, you got these two terrible teams, one really good team. But Trace Gerald and D. Hart, they need something. Gerald seems to be the guy. He's getting about 6 yards a carry. They just got to pump that up a little bit because he only had 7 yards versus Boise State.
Ugh.
I don't get what Colorado is. I know Colorado's bad, but I've had the same. Like, he went 7 yards a carry versus two teams, like Colorado and UC Davis, but then 1.4. First Boise. They just need somebody to do something on that, on the running game, because you can't just pass and pass and pass, and they'll just drop 6 or 7 guys, like, screw it, whatever. Do what you want to do. And one note, too. Apparently, the guys from BC Interruption want to make sure to tell me there is no quarterback controversy with freshman Darius Wade, so you don't need to worry about that, if people have been looking in to see if he'll play or not.
I mean, looking at the stats, I didn't really expect there to be. Considering through the first four games, Tyler Murphy is coming close to 1,000 all-purpose yards.
Yeah.
But going back to what you're talking about with D. Hart and the Colorado State running backs, I mean, it's been like kind of like a timeline where it's just up, down, and then back up. I mean, could we expect it to go down? I mean, D. Hart obviously came out and made that huge impact in his debut as a Ram, and then he goes out and plays like he did against Boise State.
And then he gets no carries versus UC Davis. Only
right. So, I mean, that's got to be – I think that's got to be motivation for him. Because when you see a guy
– because we know they're going to play both guys. They're not like it's going to be 25 carries to 5. They'll both get close to 10. One guy will probably get about 15 or so.
Yeah, and I think he wants to come out and he wants to, like, lay claim. He wants to be like, I should be the number one guy out of this backfield. And – Maybe he can do that against Boston College. I don't know.
I don't think it's because BC, they're only giving up 100, not even 100 yards a game.
I mean, they've played two good running backs. They played Buck Allen at USC and James Conner at Pitt.
Here's the thing. Their stats are just ridiculous. I'm looking at their rushing stats. 302 yards versus Pitt.
Ugh.
One touchdown. That's the only touchdown they've given up. The whole season, 393 yards. So they give up 91 yards in 3 games, including a hefty 0.69 per carry against USC. 0.6, less than a yard a carry. And they did the same against Maine. So it's, I don't know, something clicked. That's very hard to, I get you have 3 games of very good defense, but Pitt is just awful. And Pitt's not running the triple option. And so that, they only have one touchdown. That's very, it's very good. Like I said, 98 yards a game. I don't know what to take from this. Are they really that good, or who does Pitt have running the ball? Who is?
It's James Conner.
Is he that good?
I mean, he's a truck. I mean, if you give it to him, he just runs over guys.
I agree. 175 yards a game, almost 10 touchdowns, and we're 4 games in. So.
And he got 38 touches against BC, 214 yards and a score. So that was, I think that's the most they've given up this year.
Oh, clearly. Yeah, 302 in the one game.
And I think I was looking it up earlier. Connor's leading the country in scores or in rushing yards and scores.
So, yeah, 9 touchdowns, so that would make sense. I don't know how – I don't think they'll be able – they, you got to get more than 20 yards, what USC did, right?
I would hope so.
You would think. I think if – because this line, it's weird. It started at 4 or maybe even 3, but jumped all the way up to 7. So it's – I don't know why. It's just kind of – oh, and now it's 10, actually. Jeez.
Wow.
I don't know what the – why the reasoning that would be, but I want to think Colorado State could get the win, but I don't – I'm not really too confident about that. Because we do our – you should participate as well, our stupid upset pick. Maybe that could be for me. Colorado State actually beating BC on the road.
I'm going to keep my stupid upset pick in my pocket for now because I do think BC is a very good team. I don't think they're going to go out and win the ACC this year. But I do think their performances against USC – and they did put up a great fight against Pitt. Mm-hmm. And obviously the other two games aren't a measuring stick. But I think if they put out a good performance against Colorado State, who in their own right are going to be pretty decent in the Mountain West this year, I think that Boston College will make a pretty good run. I will. You said the line's 10?
10. Yeah, jeez. That's a lot. It jumped. It's huge. It was like 3. I don't know how it jumps up 7 points.
I'm going to say the Eagles aren't going to cover. I'll say they do win by a touchdown, though.
Okay. I'm taking this to be my dumb – even though I don't think I've ever earned a victory in my dumb upset pick.
Ugh.
First time for everything, right?
Yeah. 0-4, fifth one's a charm.
Something like that. So let me let's put CSU wins here, type it up. So I think Grayson could keep them close, but it'll – if it's a – if either team wins, I think it'll be within – it'll be in single digits. Because it's like – I always say with UNLV, I'd never trust them, and when's the last time BC's really been good?
Matt Ryan.
Yeah, not reasonably recent, but not for a good stretch to say, okay, they're going to be this good.
Yeah.
But, all right, for really quick, that game, it's on a million different platforms, but if you're out west, it's on Root Sports Rocky Mountain, or it's on ESPN3, or if for some reason you pay, which I don't get, ESPN Game Plan, you can get it there in non-high definition, so that's exciting.
Yeah, I unfortunately don't have the ACC or Pac-12 network, so
I don't
have
Pac-12
either. So. I'm living in SEC country.
True. SEC network.
Yeah.
You might be. Well, actually, no. Technically, you can get it because if you want to. I'm not saying you have to watch this game, but if all the rules apply as I'm aware, if anything that's on Root Sports and you're not in the area, like where I'm out west, if you could get the channel, whether you subscribe to it or not, like if I don't have DirecTV, if I have no TV, just over the air, I'm in the area, I couldn't get it. But if you're outside of the area of Rocky Mountain, Root Sports Rocky Mountain, you can stream it online. But I don't think that's the case in this particular one.
I don't think
it is. But it's just a weird situation. But that's normally the case. But I think since it's a road game, like an out-of-league game, that's not the case. So.
And this is definitely a game I will want to watch, though. So I'll definitely be paying close attention.
Well, if you're at the university, don't you get free ESPN3 and stuff?
I already get free ESPN3 through my cable, actually. I mean, I don't think our university offers free ESPN3. It needs to start happening.
I know. When I used to do stuff for Cover BYU, I'm like, oh, I can pull up the ESPN3. When I'm waiting for the game to start, the 2-hour rain delay from Texas last year. It's exciting. Next game, Boise State at Air Force. Later game. You get a break. One thing about this week, there's not 12 games, which is nice. And they're not all bunched up with each other. You got a Friday night. You do have the dually and noon Eastern games. But then you go to 7 o'clock Eastern, Boise at Air Force. 13 points for Boise State. This is only the second time these two teams have played, or maybe third time. Whenever Boise joined the league, this is the first time they played Air Force. And I think from a lot of people saying, which I know people who played against Air Force, they're like, don't cut block me because I hate – this is like the worst team they want to play every year. They hate playing them. You get cut block, torn knees. You just little guys who are 5'9" playing the offensive line.
I mean, it's going to be – because Air Force, they've done very well at moving the ball this year on the ground. So, I mean, Boise, obviously, this is going to be kind of a new territory for them, having not played Air Force – what you said, this is their second meeting?
Something like that. I think when they joined the Mountain West, it's the first time they played, so they've only played a couple times.
Okay, so this is still fresh territory for them. So obviously they haven't adjusted to, like, the whole thing of, oh, they're running it again. Oh, there's another run, and cut block. So I think Boise State, I think it'll kind of be a learning curve for this game, I feel like.
Yeah, because you're not giving a consistent – if you've been on the team for 4 years or 5 years, if you're a coach, been around for a decade or so, you're familiar and saying, here's what they do. Got to be careful, stay on your feet, all that type of stuff. And the thing with Air Force now, they actually have they're kind of going back a couple years with Tim Jefferson, who could throw the ball. They actually have a QB who can do both, and that makes them very dangerous. And it's not a triple option, but their run-based attack with Kel Pierce, he's already thrown. In three games, that's 53 times. That's ridiculous. That's usually almost a season's worth or three-quarters of a season's worth for an Air Force quarterback.
Compared to what we've seen in the past few years, that's like breaking records.
Yeah, even when they had Tim Jefferson, who could throw the ball, he was throwing at most, like, there's one, unless you're getting, like, to catch up, they were throwing max, like, 20 times a game, and that's a catch up. He's throwing 53, so that's, 17, 18 a game already, almost 500 yards.
And none of them have been in catch-up. I mean, they've all been in either they've been up or it's in a close game like the Wyoming game.
Yeah, Wyoming, Georgia State, even Nicholls State, but they're winning big. They're not throwing much. But here's the thing I want to see. Boise's front seven is really good. And they could stop. And we've always, me and Chris before, not joked, but kind of saying the weakness on Boise State's are secondary. Well, they should have a few guys back, and they – kind of changed after the first two games. We're like, they'll make plays, but give up yards. They'll still give up a little bit of yards, but I think they kind of shored that up a little bit. But the Air Force defense can suck you in because anytime I talk about Air Force, whether it's here, people want me to chat on another show or something, from what I've been told, it's the most boringest football game if you're a defender. Because if you're the nose tackle, you have to go after the fullback every time on that dive, whether he runs it four times or 45 times. You have to stay in that same lane. If you're a linebacker, you have to do the same thing every time. You're on the quarterback. You're on the pitch man. You're on this guy. You get my point. You're playing 1-11 football. You're doing the same thing every time. And the one time you say, well, I'll do a sidestep here, or the one time I'm not going to fully go after the fullback, I'm going to kind of cheat to whatever side I think they're going to run the ball on, then they'll burn you for that 40-yard run up the gut.
I mean, from a player's standpoint, it'll be the longest game you've ever played.
Yeah.
But from a viewer's standpoint, it could be over in, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah, it could be a quick game with them. Air Force likes to go a little bit quicker pace. They don't hold it for the play clock. And they run. Even though Boise's never seen it, because their games have – I'm trying to pull this up as well. I think their games, they're not blowing out Air Force. I think last year they kind of did. Let's see what they did last year really quick. Because with them being in division, they played a couple times. Yeah, they blew them out last year 42-20. I think they played in 2012 as well. No, maybe that was their first time. But if I recall, last year was pretty close. But last year was a mess for Air Force. They had so many injuries. They had so many different quarterbacks. If I recall, there were some turnovers in that game. I like to say I think a lot, but they're just going to get yards. This team, they're not the 2-10 team from last year to beat, to kind of put it quickly. They're not that bad. But the guy who can throw the ball, and then with Jacoby Owens running, because last year they didn't really find their running back all that well, and he's putting up some yards, and he could be the difference to at least keep it close. Because it is, what did we say, 13 points? Yeah, almost two touchdowns in favor of Boise.
I'm with you that this Air Force team isn't the same team we saw last year. And we saw that in their two – and even the Wyoming game that was lost, we've seen that this season. I thought they played great in the Wyoming game. And it came down kind of to whoever had the ball last. And Georgia State, don't laugh, but Georgia State isn't the same 0-12 team we saw a couple years ago. That's a kind of improving team. And the Air Force offense, they've been able to kind of focus on their two big guys, Cale Pearson and Owens. And right now, I feel like if they can do that against Boise State, they can keep it close for a majority of the game.
I think they might, but J.H.I. is the best player out there. He's going to be the Mountain West Player of the Year. No questions asked, I'm pretty sure of it. And one thing, you're going to see him. He gets involved in so many ways. We love what Brian Harsin is doing. You have the motion back. They're not just, let's try to run the pistol seal. This is a fad. Let's run this like that was last year. That was just a mess. They'll get him the ball. He'll probably get 20 touches or so. I think this is a game what Boise State fans want to see is Grant Hendrick actually do something and throw the ball well and be precision accurate and not just throwing to throw, because he's gotten better, but he's not he still is making some of those mistakes that they don't want to see him make. And they have plenty of receivers, Matt Miller, Shane Williams Rhodes, they have Dallas Burrows, they have plenty of guys out there who can throw the ball. He does have 1,000 yards but I still think I just want to see him a little more. I don't know, maybe I'm being too picky on him. He's already completing 70% of his passes almost. But I don't know. Maybe I just want to see the interception gone down. Maybe I just want to see him continuing what he's done versus UConn and Lafayette and keep the interception-free streak alive.
I'm with you on the interceptions. I mean, a lot of that, the interception numbers got padded against Ole Miss, where he threw 4. Mm-hmm. But since then, he's thrown just 1, and that was against Colorado State. And you're right that we need to see the Grant Hendrick that went against UConn and then went against Louisiana Lafayette. And right now the yards are there and the completion percentage is there. And I think how he performs against Air Force, I think fans will kind of have an idea, okay, this is the quarterback we have this year.
And he should, because Air Force has had a good secondary since they had Tim Drueter being their defensive coordinator like 5 years ago when they had Anthony Wright, who is like a second or third team All-American. They haven't had a good secondary in forever. And so I just want to see him have maybe it's like a big breakout game with no interceptions. Like, do what he did versus Colorado State, but maybe have 3 touchdowns and no interceptions. I just want to see him continue that, because there's a lot of people questioning about him, what he did last year and coming into this first part of the year. But as for the pick, I see Boise covering this, but it'll be just barely. Like it'll probably be about 17 points.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think 17, 20 points is about right. I think Air Force, they won't keep pace. But
they can't.
They won't, obviously. But they'll score. I think they will score. They do definitely have the ability to score. But I do think Boise will probably just end up being too much completely.
Yeah, they'll drag it out later on. And I think the way Air Force keep it closer is that they can actually throw. And if they suck in a DB or a linebacker, they can go over the top pretty easily from what they can. After running 25 straight dive plays, they'll get somebody over the top and get a touchdown. They'll keep it close. Playing there, I've been to their stadium. It's pretty nice. It's kind of pretty much not the middle of nowhere. You're on Air Force Base. You want to be protected, I guess. Not to be here we are. But they're kind of off to the side and go out there in Colorado Springs. But it should be a reasonably good game. And they're not the 2-10 team. They'll probably be closer to a bowl game, but it'll be – Boise's still too much. They're the best team by far, and it's not even really close.
And I think if Air Force puts out a good game, fans should be happy with a good game, even if it's a loss. Because when you look at the schedule, there are still several winnable games that they could win to get closer to a bowl game, or at least show progression from where they were last year.
Yeah, they got
New Mexico on the schedule. They have Army, Navy.
UNLV.
UNLV is on there.
They got a couple. Maybe even Utah State, depending. We'll see how that kind of works out. But they have I think preseason we said about 5 wins, and that's probably still where they're at, but they're being closer than – well, we don't know. We'll know after this game if they're closer to that or not score-wise. So next game, UNLV, who also might need a new quarterback, at San Diego State. This is the game Devontae Davis plays in. He plays for the Rebels, you know. He's on that team.
Yeah. Not the Fresno State team.
Yeah. If you listened 20 minutes ago, I was – going in circles about trying to name different wide receivers. But this game is the only – this is another good thing. The only streaming game, ESPN3, UNLV at San Diego State. Kind of surprising, because Aztecs are – even though they're 1-2, they're probably right there with Nevada to be that third team in the league overall in that to battle for the West title.
I would be inclined to agree with you there. I mean, when you kind of look at it, I mean, it's – I mean, in the end of it, in that division.
The West.
It's San Diego State or Nevada. And I think San Diego State, they got those 2 good tough games out of the way with North Carolina and Oregon State. And I think from here on out, it could very well be smooth sailing. I mean, obviously that game at Nevada is going to be huge and at Boise State. But with what we've seen so far, they've contended for the most part and they've looked decent. I think they could very well go on. I'm not saying a clean sweep, but they look really good enough to possibly win the division.
I think, yeah, it's them or Nevada. Maybe San Jose State, we'll see when they play Nevada in the next game we'll discuss. The Aztecs, they just had peculiar play calling the past couple of games. Like, the offense, they weren't going against Sean Mannion and he's throwing zero touchdown passes. You're doing something right. But then again, they still give up 28 points.
I mean, you shut down one.
They shut down both, actually, because I never really looked too close to box score. They only gave up 100 yards rushing and under 300 for Sean Mannion. No touchdowns and picked them off once.
Yeah, and the flip side of that coin is while you did good on defense, there were a couple offensive mistakes. Of course, Quinn Kaler, he threw those two picks that ended up being huge.
Yeah, and only threw 100 yards.
Yeah. And you gave Donald Pumphrey the ball, which is great. But, of course, back to those mistakes, they killed you. And, of course, 4-11 on third down conversions and penalties ended up being really the dagger.
Yeah, because the game was kind of like a slow burn. I was like, all right, they're going to come back. No, they're not. Like, it wasn't until that third quarter. It's like, okay, it's pretty much over, 21-7.
And then you're thinking, okay, well, here's the chance for a fourth quarter run. Nope. And then it just kind of drug out.
Okay, I'm like, I'm watching Washington State, Oregon. See ya.
Click.
Yes. Too bad I couldn't see Arizona Cal. Thanks, DirecTV. You're awesome.
All right.
So, back to this game. With UNLV, they have possibly, like I said, Devontae Davis is probably the best receiver in the league, but he has no quarterback to throw him the ball. And him and Marcus Sullivan could make one of the better duos outside of Boise State or right there, but they're not getting him the ball. They're getting the ball a little bit to Devontae Boyd, but that is correct. Devontae Boyd, and then there's Devontae Davis. So I'm saying that right, folks, if you're questioning me.
there's just an O and an A difference.
Yeah, Devontae, whatever. Boyd and Davis. We were calling for Nick Sherry to come in because he started last year a couple of games, but Decker, I don't want to say turned it around because he lost 47-14 to Houston. But they played Nick Sherry. Probably should pull the depth chart up if who's starting, but it's UNLV's just back to the old self. So that's the easiest way to put it.
It's what the UNLV that we've seen for the past couple years.
We've known and loved them. That's what it is.
you can't get mad at them. You just kind of say, "All right, it's okay. We'll deal with this another year."
You beat Northern Colorado 13-12. Come on,
12. 12.
Hey, but you did get that elusive 13th point to go ahead. So there's that.
Nothing like a UNLV home win.
Yeah, and Chris was there. So, oh, man, UNLV does not have their 2-deep depth chart out yet.
Might as well wait till Saturday morning.
Yeah, they should do I probably should have made this kind of joke at the Fresno game, but do you hear what Les Miles mentioned about what he would have done if he didn't have a quarterback?
No, what was it?
Take both quarterbacks out there on the field at the same time, and whoever's not starting goes in motion to be a wide receiver on the first play.
Oh, that's great.
Why not? That's a perfect. That's definitely what he would do if he had the chance.
Just how I'm curious how efficient can Blake Decker be in motion though? You maybe try to run him out of a jet sweep on the first play just to screw with the opposing defensive coordinator.
Do something. Be creative out there.
run a double flea flicker, UNLV. Yeah. Just do something.
We'll do a throwback. And what you probably the best play probably would be either do the throwback to the wide receiver or have send one guy in motion. Then have him be set, have another guy come in motion, do the jet sweep, and then kind of like a end around, a reverse, and he'll just throw it, but he won't have to run all the way across the field. Basically, the receiver or whoever has the ball meets him about the tight end area, and he throws it from there.
I'm just imagining the offensive coordinator trying to draw this up on the whiteboard.
It's the Fonz from The Waterboy. He pretends to fake this way. He turns this way, but he fakes to fake or pretends to fake.
It's just pretending to fake over and over again, and the defense just keeps on biting.
Do you ever read and watch Breaking Madden?
I have watched a few episodes of Breaking Madden. Yes,
they could. You don't think you could do that if they make that play happen.
Oh, man.
That's probably the best thing ever. My wife, because we're going off topic here, folks, so be careful. Wife knows, she knows literally zero about football. She would, like, when she was little, her dad, like, the only football game, she'd just sit there and read, not pay attention. She knows the touchdowns. She knows, like, if anybody's watching, like, okay, I kind of see they're going this way, they're tackling that guy. Knows nothing, but she will laugh hysterically more than I do at just reading. There's nothing about the – I'll have to explain maybe one or two things here. Okay, that is funny. But it's she just goes hysterically and laughs, especially the Super Bowl one.
Oh, man.
DeAnthony Thomas, it was okay. But I'm just saying, it was still good. But Jadeveon Clowney, what was amazing. And Super Bowl top – whatever that thing in the middle of the field of the Super Bowl was, that – I don't know what that was, but that was amazing.
Oh, man. My question is, could Beefcake start at QB for UNLV? Because I think – because think about it. If you try to put him in motion, does the entire defense just, like, slink back and drop nine into coverage? Like, nope.
That's a good possibility. I don't know. That would be
– I mean, if Kentucky could do it with Jaren Lorenzen, I don't see why UNLV couldn't do it.
Might as well give it a try.
I mean,
oh, man.
I mean, it could have worked against Northern Colorado. Could you got yourself 16 points?
Oh, yeah, the extra field goal. So back to the game we're talking about. I don't know who's going to start. Nick Sherry came in, but he threw an interception, garbage time. The Las Vegas Sun, get your act together. I want an article that's more updated than their loss against Houston. Wednesday night. Come on. Wait, right? Am I asking too much on this?
Maybe they're still partying off the NoCo win. I don't know. I mean, still writing some game recaps. Like, y'all see that Northern Colorado game?
That was a win. Now they got that up right away, man. They were holding that back.
Wait a minute. What are you guys doing? The Northern Illinois game and Houston game are over. We're heading off to San Diego.
Exactly. And also, just to know, this game, Rebels have not won at San Diego State since 2000. And that streak will continue.
I was about to say there's no time like the present, but the future is nice too.
Yeah. UNLV is just bad. He thought Josh Shirley would do something from Washington. He's done nothing on the defensive front. Aztecs, as long as they don't do anything stupid, they'll win. I want to see them. This is a perfect game. All right, what did we do wrong the past 2 weeks? Let's fix that. And yeah, this is this game.
This is. I would be kind of an insult to UNLV, but this could look like one of those scrimmages in Madden where you choose offense only. Because I feel like San Diego State's going to use this as not a practice, but kind of like a controlled scrimmage. Because I feel like it's really one-sided in terms of how this game will look.
And they need to find a guy for Azil Ruffin who's still out because he's a broken collarbone. Like,
exactly.
Who's really our go-to guy? Because that's a problem. They don't know who they're even when they had Ruffin, who's our number two? Hey, whoever's open.
I mean, right now, Eric Judge has kind of come in there and he's kind of filled that role for the time being. But, I mean, you need to get Ruffin back to be, like, full go.
Yeah, that's still, I think, still about a month away, I believe, with their collarbone. So, it's 18 points, safe to say. Cover, Aztecs, win.
Yeah, I'll say 20 points and they'll cover.
Going three touchdowns, big time win. It should be done. All right, final game of the week where we have our bonehead coach moment of the week as well. So let's play this out for people. To keep a strategical secret is better to keep to reveal later than sooner. Well, Ron Carragher of San Jose State does not know that aspect. We knew they were going to reevaluate Blake Jurich and Joe Gray. Because Joe Gray came in. He should have came in halftime versus Minnesota, but did not. And this game, really quick, 10:30 Eastern, CBS Sports Network, probably later since games never end on time. But here's the thing. There's two things about this. For one, he tries to – Jimmy Durkin of the San Jose Mercury News asked, like, so who's going to be your quarterback? Like you do, even though he expects him to say – well, it's still a battle. We'll know later in the week. We're probably going to keep it close to the vest. No, he goes, he asks in a different way. He's like, well, so is Joe going to be QB? He's like, yeah, probably think so.
Well.
And then he goes on to say, I should have in front of me, but goes on to say, well, it's still a day-to-day. It's a competition. What he should have said in the first place. And then it gets even better because this battle to replace David Fells has been going on since probably the year before to who was the backup last year to get that start. And it's been jerks. They have fall, spring camp. It's closed. Fall camp. They announced a starter. Carragher says at some point on Monday's practice or press conference, whichever one it was on Monday, well, Joe Gray was rated higher heading into the season, but we still went with jerks. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why didn't you start Gray in the first place if you had him above the other guy?
Well, I mean, it could have been just like an experiment to see, like, can we get away with doing this? Can we get away with starting Jurek? And right now, I mean, it's not. I would say their losses were expected. I mean, I didn't expect them to obviously go out and compete with a team like Auburn or, I mean, Minnesota. I don't know how to grade that loss.
That loss, let's put it this way. When the first completion against your defense is in the fourth quarter, then he goes 1 of 7 for one pass to QB for Minnesota. But the real turning point in the game, it was 10-7. Spartans recover, I believe, in the end zone or something, touchback, and there's like 30 seconds left. Then they throw, instead of running the clock out, let's throw a screenplay, and the worst screenplay ever, San Jose State coughs it up, Minnesota gets it, they get the ball back right where they're at, touchdown, they go up 17-7, ball game essentially. It was a brutal. That's probably the only part of the game I actually watched. Cause I had like four screens going on Saturday afternoon, but I don't know. Joe Grace, he's only had what, six attempts or six completion, 10 attempts, nothing special. But Nevada, man, they might be, like I said, they might win the West.
They've looked great so far. I mean,
hold off on the great there.
Good. Good's a good word.
There you go. Good.
Okay, I mean, stats-wise, they're looking pretty solid. I mean, they're up there. They're almost top 50 in passing, top 50 in rushing, top 50 in scoring. I mean, Cody Fajardo has looked really good so far this year.
They just need him to – he is throwing well. I thought they had their running back situation set up with Don Jackson. That's what – because with their offense, they got the pistol, a lot of motion. Fajardo, like when he played Arizona, 321 yards – 3 TDs. Had they not kicked 2 cheap chip shot field goals, they probably would have won. Like 21 and a 22-yard field goal. It's like, come on, punch it in. At least the second one. They don't know running back. They have James Butler, Don Jackson, Fajardo could run better, but they don't have what they really need is a solid running number 2 running back. Like when they had Colin Kaepernick there, they had, I think, Tua, I believe. They had 3 guys with 1,000 yards for like 2 years. They need something close to that to be really good because the Washington State game, stat-wise, their numbers were awful. Arizona, they passed well. They didn't run worth anything, 2.5 yards a carry. They need to have an established running game that's not Fajardo.
Yeah, and like you said, Fajardo, he has been really behind with Jackson, he's been carrying it. Fajardo's there. But then it kind of just falls off gradually. Like you have James Butler, 136 yards. Then it goes down to Nate McLaurin with 37, which I say fall off. That could be that cliff I'm talking about with the Hawaii quarterbacks.
Exactly.
So, I mean, do you try including some – who do you – I mean, you have to include more people, obviously, because you're only having 3 people right now, by my count, taking carries out of the backfield.
Maybe. This offense does give the ball to a lot of players, just because with the pistol, they put 2 backs in there, or they'll run that – diamond formation sometimes with 3 backs. This is the game to do it because while San Jose State has a Travis Rusidi who could get a shot at the NFL, they don't really have anybody else. And Vance Buechler's back from his injury from a year ago, linebacker. But look what Minnesota did. They need to do the same thing, and I think this will be a game to – it doesn't necessarily have to give it to 5 guys, but I do agree. They probably need somebody else to maybe get a carry or two with what they do, a game, just a couple. But they need Don Jackson. It could be whoever. Don Jackson, Fajardo running much better. But I want to see them get a second runner, I guess that's the way to put it. But a running back to actually be the guy to get like 120 yards. Because they need their running back needs to get about whoever the number one guy is about 85 yards a game at least. Because that equates to about 1,000 almost. That's what they need. And they haven't had that in a while. And, geez, San Jose State, why can't they do it against that game and get that straightened out?
What a game to do it against. I mean, that would put you in prime control in the division, 1. And then 2, I mean, that could be a preview for what we see when they go and play San Diego State.
That's definitely true. They need to make sure who they know and can trust. They don't play San Diego State for a while, but they got Boise State the week after, and they host Boise, so they need to find a guy, Don Jackson, whoever, to be that guy. And with San Jose State, we're still a little bit to be known because they have a new quarterback. Winston had, I believe, it was a toe injury and only returned punts. against Minnesota. He's a big threat who could make some noise in this game. I have no idea what to expect from Joe Gray, so it's hard to say I have any confidence of picking San Jose State to win this game because new quarterback. Running game's terrible. Yeah. Reggie's running defense. They do have Jared, Jared is back.
Leaf.
No, not Jared Leaf. Lawson is back his two-game suspension. But he had, I don't know. He almost surpassed Thomas Tucker in total yards on the ground for the season. Yeah. That's how bad the rushing game was before. Tucker has 83. In one game, Lawson had 53, and it's right there. So,
yeah.
56, I mean. What are your thoughts? Like, any chance for the Spartans just because of what we don't know?
I mean, when you look at this rushing game, it doesn't leave for a lot of hope, considering the rushing game is averaging 2.4 yards a carry. That's real nice. But I think San Jose State, I mean, once they get that quarterback situation figured out, regardless of whether it's Jurek or Gray, I feel like they'll be a decent offensive team. But I think Nevada has a chance to kind of just really kind of set the pace in this division. I feel like they're going to pull out not a convincing win, but a relatively good win. I think they'll go into San Jose and come out pretty spotless.
Think they can win by a touchdown? Because it's a 5-point line right now. What we have going on?
I'll go ahead and say 10 points.
Okay. So wait, hold on a second. You don't have you said you're holding off on your upset pick. You didn't provide one.
Am I allowed to pocket those for a further date?
You definitely can. I just tried to get you to say something like that. You don't have to.
When you look at this week, I think the closest could be Colorado State at Boston College. But everything else, I think, would be pretty one-sided.
Yeah. Even the closest, wanted me to cover, because that's kind of what I did last week with Oregon. But yeah, you're right. I get your point. There's not really anything that would say, this is just ridiculous. Unless you're going to say Wyoming. You know what I mean? Like, there's no chance. I guess to say something stupid would be Wyoming gets within a touchdown.
I think they could. At one point, they will be in a touchdown. It'll be 0-0 at one point.
And it can't be over one touchdown on one drive, so.
That's true.
There you go.
I will say, for kind of stupid upset pick, I will say that San Jose State keeps it pretty close.
Okay.
I'm still going to hold that Nevada will win and win pretty effectively.
But I think they can win by two touchdowns, maybe.
They could win by two touchdowns. I do say San Jose State, they'll keep it relatively close, though. And I mean, a play here and there, and they could win. I'm not saying that they will. I still think the Wolfpack will win. But the Spartans will probably could keep it closer than most of the other teams this week.
Yeah, especially if Gray can do anything. If Gray's decent, they have some weapons on the offensive side of the ball. It's just the new quarterback. Why would you take it? If you're actually going to go to Las Vegas or Nevada or wherever you could put some your local bookie in the basement there, whoever, and obviously that's not kosher, but who's going to take it? Well, first off, unless you're a fan, you're not really putting anything on this game, but if you are, there's no point to take San Jose State. It's, yeah, like you said, there could be a play here or there if Gray actually does something, but it'll be one of those games where it's like Nevada's up 10-3 or 14-6, where it's like a score away, but San Jose State can never tie it or get, you know what I mean, one of those type of games.
Never get over that hump.
Yeah, it's like, we're right there, oh, Nevada does it.
You check SportsCenter 10 minutes, it's San Jose, or it's Nevada 24-14. You go check again. Oh, it's Nevada 31-20.
Yeah, one of those games.
Yeah.
It'll be just like that. So those are the games we got. I'll actually put the picks we discussed through here throughout the show. Do you have anything you want to add to the first show this evening?
I know that we weren't going to discuss Mizzou, but I'm glad it's a road game. I get to sleep in. I don't have to go watch that fantastic offense. Hawaii is off, and I think this will be a good week for Hawaii to really kind of get their bearings, figure out what's going on at quarterback. I do think Woolsey can be the answer. I think the offensive line needs to maybe give him more of a pocket, because the Oregon State game was a perfect example of this. The front seven brought a ton of pressure, and he would get all trigger happy and just throw it, and he would constantly under or overthrow his guys, and that's reflective in his completion percentage.
And he rockets it, has no touch either.
Yeah, and there would be a couple plays. I remember one very – I think it was the Washington game. They drove down the field, and they had Marcus Kemp run a wheel route, and he burned the guy on the edge, and he was wide open, and Woolsey just overthrew him. And if I remember correctly, that would have put them up, I think, or mid-fourth quarter.
I believe I recall. Yeah, they just need, I don't know, Hawaii. They're a mess still. They need something to go on, so.
Yeah, I'm slowly kind of, that bowl prediction that I pulled up at the pre-show or preseason podcast, I'm slowly kind of just taking that off the table and hoping no one will notice.
Can I delete that portion? Go back and edit that out for me.
Anytime I talk, it's just like white noise. It's like...
Yeah, it's like, well, technical difficulties here. We'll play one of that for 90 seconds.
Stay tuned.
Hey, they could be right next week, so that's a possibility.
They could be right. I mean, there are still... When you look at Hawaii, there are still a couple winnable games. I say winnable, like really hoping that they are.
Like Rice, Wyoming at home, they can get maybe UNLV at home.
Maybe San Jose State if they can't get it together. I mean, there's still hope for maybe four or five wins.
Yeah.
Do they steal one from a Nevada or a Utah State? Probably not. Even though they do get them at home, I still think there's a slim handful of games that they can win. Just because that defense has been actually really good so far.
And Utah State's defense is good. They just shut it down pretty much, I would think. So.
Yeah, I don't think Joey Iosefa will be back by then. So I like what Laka Laka's been able to do, but you're kind of just missing that rumble effect that we've seen from Iosefa.
And if he had two guys, that would help him even better. So.
Yeah, I mean, Laka Laka, whenever he doesn't get the touches, we kind of just see him kind of in the background. But when he has gotten the touches, he's looked great the past two games.
He's over 100 yards last week, I believe, versus Colorado.
Yeah.
But last thing on Hawaii, get a touchdown. Get a touchdown.
12. Welcome to the 12-point club. Sit next to Northern Colorado.
Yes, exactly. All right, so that does wrap it up for tonight. Again, thanks for Chris Turner, you hopping in with us tonight.
Thanks for having me on.
Check him out. If you go to his Twitter page right now, Chris L. Turner, you see a nice Super Smash Brothers tweet up from a couple hours ago.
That's what we do at Missouri. I mean, that's a hard days of work at the student television station where we kick back with the round of Super Smash Bros.
What system were you using for that? Oh, it looks like a GameCube there.
Yes. One of my members on the exec staff brought a Nintendo GameCube, and it had that little monitor that you can attach to the top on it. But we hooked it up to the program computer, and we played a couple matches.
And that's a Smash Brothers way to get it. It's one of the best games out there.
Yes, it is.
All right, so check him out. It's Chris L. Turner on Twitter. He'll do Hawaii stuff. He'll have some sort of update on the quarterback situation tomorrow, maybe. We'll see. Maybe
it will be tomorrow. And if I was good at Photoshop, I would kind of put Ikeka Woolsey, Taylor Graham, and now freshman Bo Riley.
Yeah.
Because we're kind of, I think Hawaii might have burned his red shirt. I don't quote me on that, but I feel like he was being redshirted because we were just going to go with
the non-quadrant system, right?
Yes, we were going for the triangle system.
Yeah, triangle. We're doing an infographic. Chris is okay on Twitter, on Photoshop. I've done InDesign, some other things, but not really Photoshop. So I'm actually going to take a class to actually be good at it, hopefully. But we found in our infographic, we have if you may have seen it on Twitter, but we're looking for weird, interesting apparel from schools. And Colorado State used to be the Aggies. Bright orange sweater we have, Colorado State Aggies. He's going to have to Photoshop Bill Cosby onto one of those.
Wow.
Just because when on the Cosby Show, he always had whatever university, and he wears ugly sweaters, so it's a natural fit.
That could be three new levels of, bright, ugly sweater.
And then the other one we found, because we are doing, we'll do for us giveaway now, our combination is going to be bolo type you can buy from the Mexico Lobo store, and the ugliest board shorts from Fresno State you can have.
Oh, man.
So we're hoping to have that out sometime tomorrow, but we will see. But, yeah, thanks for hopping on.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, excellent work. We'll have you on again sometime later on down the road. If Hawaii gets a bowl game, you can have the show to yourself. if you like. I don't know. I'm just saying. So not this year, but
just it would just be 30 minutes of me yelling, "I told you so."
I am right. I am right.
Go Bos.
Yes. But yeah, check us out, MWCConnection.com. We got a bunch of games this weekend. Check the site. There's a bunch of updates. We have plenty of football. I'll say this. If you want Mountain West content, check us out. We're the place to be.
Still looking for riders.
Yes, of course. Unless you're – sorry, San Diego State fans, but anything else, we're good to go. So we got a good guy. So we got – here's what we mention this every show. Nevada, we need the West Division because the West Division is not repped enough. Nevada, San Jose State.
UNLV.
UNLV football. We're okay football. Basketball kind of, but those three for football would be helpful. So shoot an email, mountainwestfootball@gmail.com, Twitter, MWC Connection. But, yeah, thanks for everybody listening this evening, and we'll check out. I'll see you next time. I'm ending there because I cannot talk tonight. See you.
Adios. Folks.